Up in the trees this morning with John Eisenhower. John, I'm going to ask you to take a couple calls here. People have been holding very carefully and patiently, but I want to get to your May calendar tips, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Let's bring Jim into the conversation. Somebody punch up Jim. Good morning, Jim. They don't let me push any
good
buttons
morning.
In here. Good morning.
Good morning. John, my daughter has a building lot up in Las Cenas in Mesa, and she's planning to build this year. And we noticed on the property there's about three, maybe four bushy trees, and at this time of year they're blooming pink and white flowers, and they look quite good. I tried to look them up, and as close as I can come is a Mexican locust. Are they natural to this area?
Well, I'm not sure what you're looking at. No, the Mexican locust, no, probably not local to the Phoenix area, but a pink and white bloom could be an ironwood. Is it a desert tree with thorns?
Yeah. No thorns. It has fairly smooth. I wish I had taken a picture. I could have sent it in. Fairly smooth bark, grayish.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in bloom. And it seems that Blampett, who's the main builder up there, uses them all over. I guess he pulls them out as he builds. And they're all along roadways and everything up through Las Cenas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be a desert willow, you know, could be an orchid tree, could be a crepe myrtle. Yeah, there's several flowering trees that are blooming this time of year. What height is the tree? How tall?
About 7 foot, 8 foot, but it's multiple branches, you know, it's mm-hmm. been grown wild. And one of my questions was, if it could have been identified, was, can I severely trim them, and can they be moved, that type of tree?
Yeah, depending on how large it is, you know, sometimes you can move those. If you can get the entire or a good portion of the root ball up and intact to be able to transplant. Again, sometimes if they're smaller like that, it's not worth the expense. It could be several hundred dollars to move them when you could simply go buy a new tree and plant it out. You'd have to make that decision. But yeah, if you're a lot of we have a lot of our customers who move to new areas and or to a new home and want to save some of the trees on the property or move them to better locations so they where the footprint of the building is going to be right over where those trees are located. And I respect those that desire to do that. It's nice to be able to save a mature tree if you possibly can.
You've got your emotional attachment.
Also,
right?
Something to think about when you do have a tree on a lot like that before you've done any building. You can bring in a spade truck, a 90-inch spade truck, which can come in and actually pick up that entire tree in one big 90-inch root ball and move a relatively large tree. That can't be done in an enclosed area or a built environment. But if you have an empty lot and the truck can back right up to the tree, this would be a perfect time to grab one of those and put it to the perimeter of the yard or to a better location. Arizona Big Tree Movers is one company that we've worked with a lot over the years, and Bonnie with Arizona Big Tree Movers could help you with that.
Very good. Well, Jim, we appreciate the call. Isn't there an app you can download where you take a picture of the plant and it tells you what the plant is?
Yeah, there's a couple of apps out there on tree identification, Plant ID. If you just put that into your app store and you might be able to find a nice app that they're sometimes not really dialed in. The technology's not all there, but some of them are pretty good. You can find out exactly what that tree is by taking a picture of the leaves or the branch structure.
Very good. Let's get to Ben real quick, and then we'll go to May tips. Good morning, Ben. Thanks for calling in. How can we help you, my friend?
Good morning. Good morning. I have a question. I have a pretty good-sized lot with four very large pine trees. I'm guessing they're 40 years plus, And it's kind of hilly, a little, a few small hills. So I've been grading it, and I see found that the previous owner, they had laid down a lot of pea gravel, but they beneath it they have a lot of bisqueen, rolled plastic. And as I've been tilling it, I'm pulling up all this plastic. I'm finding a lot of the roots close to the top, right below, basically right beneath the bisqueen. So right. I'm worried about damaging them and hurting the trees. They don't seem to be the healthiest, but they don't seem to be in very, very poor condition. I want to make them healthier. Am I going to hurt them more by grading these smaller size roots or, you know, underneath the trees here? Or is there something I could do to keep them healthy, to make them healthier?
Well, even driving the machinery over the root zone is causing some compaction to the root zone and pushing some of the soil, the oxygen out of the soil. So be real careful. Try to minimize the trafficking, vehicular traffic or machinery traffic over the root zone of the trees. But I know that does happen quite often. Because the visqueen condensation will form underneath that plastic, and then the roots will follow and chase that condensation and grow underneath there. And that's an insignificant percentage of the overall root mass of the trees. I know it looks pretty impressive when you pull that visqueen up and you see these large mats of roots, but I wouldn't be too worried about that. I'd be more concerned about the damage caused to the roots by driving over them a lot. What I would do is I would carefully pull up that visqueen, but don't go much deeper into the soil from there. Pull all the pea gravel up, get rid of the visqueen, but try to leave that soil intact. Don't excavate any deeper, or you will start hitting significant roots below there. And then as soon as you can, you might want to consider putting some wood chips down over that area if you're planning to do some additional construction or whatever. It might be nice to put down some wood chips to help to take the place of that pea gravel in terms of insulating the soil from the sun. And of course, if you're, like I said, if you're planning to do some more trafficking over that area, the wood chips can help to mitigate some of that damage to the roots.
Very good. Ben, we appreciate the call. John, let's get to your May tree calendar. You got a lot to cover here.
Yeah, a couple of items. Remember to be pruning your date palms, your Phoenix date palms this time of year. If you wait too long into the summer, the dates get so big, it becomes a lot more higher maintenance costs to you as a palm tree owner. So May 15th is kind of our target time to get your date palms trimmed. This is our heaviest pruning month for getting our trees prepared for the monsoon in July and August. May and June, really a key time to be doing a little bit of end weight reduction on some of your larger trees that you're trying to make safer for heading into the storm season later this summer. A good time to be calling to schedule that work. Also, if you plan to do any pruning of your own smaller trees to kind of storm-proof them and get them ready for the winds, be really careful not to over-thin. Thinning cuts are the removal of smaller interior branches, and people, you know, think it's in order to let more sun or let more wind blow through the trees. But remember, it's the outer ends of those branches that are carrying most of the weight and are more susceptible to wind damage. So what we recommend is a little bit of thinning cuts, but also some occasional reduction cuts on the outside of the branches to kind of take some of that sail out of the and some of that end weight out of those branches. It's a skill that's not easy, you know, that I don't recommend just lopping off the end of a branch at an arbitrary location. There's some skill in knowing how to make a proper, what we call a crown reduction cut, and that's to remove the end of a branch back to a lateral branch or to a point of attachment somewhere closer to the center of the tree. And Dr. Ed Gilman has done a lot of research on which are the best kind of pruning cuts to make your trees safest for enduring high winds. He's out of the University of Florida, where they've done a lot of hurricane research, and he's actually determined that the best pruning cut for your buck is to make a crown reduction cut. That's to take the end off the branch back to a significant lateral branch inside, rather than gutting the inside of the tree and lion-tailing it, leaving all the heavy foliage out on the ends. That's the worst thing you can do for your trees. So if you want to learn a little bit more about that, I've got a class I'm teaching today at the Desert Botanical Garden at 2 to 2 o'clock. There's still a few seats left. If you want to go learn how to prune your own trees, this would be a great time to do that. It's the last class I'm teaching this summer until, like I said, Desert Botanical Garden from 2 to 5 o'clock today. It's a hands-on clinic, so I do some teaching in the early part of the class. Second hour we're devoted to demonstrating how to make those thinning cuts and reduction cuts. And then finally, in the last hour, we give all the students an opportunity to actually learn how to make some of those cuts themselves. So a lot of fun. If you are inclined to go, go to the Desert Botanical Garden website, which is dbg.org, dbg.org, and that will get you to their training page. We also posted it on our Facebook page today. Integrity Tree Service Facebook page has the link, and that'd be great to see you out there if any of our listeners are inclined to get a pruning class in under their belt before this summer. Other pruning tips for this, the end of May, we've just got it's a great time to be protecting your trees from sun. We have a lot of issues. Gary here in studio today sent me a picture earlier this week of one of his trees that got blasted by sun. And unfortunately, bark is not like human skin, where we actually replace the skin cells. When there's damage to the tree bark, it's permanent injury to the tree. And just below the bark of all of our trees are the cells that conduct the water and nutrients to the top of the tree, and also deliver the sugars and starches back down to the root system from the top of the tree. So that cambium just below the bark is critical to a tree's survival. Well, if you get significant areas of that cambium that's damaged, it's permanent damage, and trees do their best to kind of reroute those nutrients and water around those damaged areas, but it can be pretty hard on the trees. So it's a good time to consider wrapping those, especially if you have some new trees that were recently installed. As these 100-degree temperature days are with us, we need to be sure that we get those. You can wrap those trunks of those trees with a little bit of burlap wrap or some other soft material to kind of keep the sun off those sensitive areas.
Very Do you like good. The paints?
Yeah, so paint doesn't really help as much as just physically covering them.
Okay.
Paint can reduce the soil, the surface temperature by a degree or two, but it won't prevent sunburn if we get too much heat.
John, in about 30 seconds, we've got Steve that wants to know, what can he do about the neighbor's mesquite tree sending roots into his yard? What's tree law in Arizona? Real quick.
Well, that's a longer answer for that question. But, yeah, there are some rules and regs on how to deal with that. You just have to be sure you don't kill the person's tree. You can do some cutting of the roots or the branches that are hanging over your property line, but you can't damage their tree. That's the rule.
And it takes a real arborist to take a look at the roots and say, can I cut this, put in a tree, a root barrier, and not impact the tree?
Sure. Yep. Yeah, you can install a root barrier, but yeah, you have to just be careful that you don't damage their tree. You've got rights, but within certain limits.
All right. We'll be right back.
Sure.